Greetings all and welcome to another episode of TechNet Radio. I'm Dan Stoltz. I'll be your host today as we talk about DFSR data recovery in Windows Server 2012 and Windows Server 2012 R2. This is part of our series of articles on SMB. You can find the index for all the articles at aka.ms/SMB3series. As always, you can reach me on my blog at itproguru.com or on Twitter. My Twitter handle is itproguru. Our guest today will be Ned Pyle. Welcome, Ned. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
So today we have a pretty packed agenda. I thought maybe, how do you want to start us off? You want to start us off with, you know, what are preserved files, conflicts, and deletions, and how that's relevant and why we need to know?
Yeah, let me start with the big important spot. So in DFSR, in any replication system that's multi-master, like DFSR is, there has to be a mechanism in place to deal with the fact that two users could modify the same particular file, but in its, you know, it's on two different servers, two instances, and then DFSR has to reconcile that. It has to decide what to do if there's any kind of collision. It also needs to be able to handle what happens if I set up replication for the very first time and, you know, I pick a server to replicate from and a server to replicate to during initial sync. If the server I'm replicating to already has files on it, what should I do about those files?
And those then, are the pre-existing? So those are pre-existing files on the destination before you send files over for sync? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, those are pre-existing files. Okay. And then you also have the concept of, and this is just kind of extra credit that DFSR does, it's not really necessary to the algorithms of replication, but if a user deletes a file from one server, you know, we replicate the deletion, and as a matter of convenience to people, on the servers where the file was, you know, transitively deleting the file, so not where it actually got deleted, but where they were told, well, this is, the file's gone from us and you should get rid of it too, it actually saves a copy of the file. And what this all means is, in the end, is you have this folder hidden away underneath your replicated folder that contains all of this goo, and it's not easily accessible. It's hidden, and it's flattened out quite a bit for uniqueness. So, and I'll show you more about this in a demo here in a little bit. But basically, it's very difficult to retrieve that data. As a person just going into the folder, it's nearly impossible to retrieve the data because of the way that it's kept unique by DFSR, so that as stuff keeps getting added, we don't simply overwrite existing things just because they happen to have the same name, for example. And what I can show you, something that we introduced in 2012 R2, or which you can also run from Windows 8.1, RSAT, is two new PowerShell commandlets, one called get DFSR preserve files and one called restore DFSR preserve files.
I'm guessing the name implies what it does.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Do you want to go ahead and show us how those work?
Sure. Okay, so here I am on a server. I've got a pair of DFSR servers here. There's Servo 1, which is not particularly interesting right now, and Servo 3. And Servo 3 is kind of our repository of interesting stuff. So I've gone through prior to this, so that you're not bored to tears, and created a set of pre-existing data and conflicted data and deleted data. Okay, so if I take this output, I've got these GUIDs on here, and these GUIDs represent servers. When you look at a GVSM, this is kind of interesting tidbit time, but the way that DFSR keeps track of files is based on a version number, a version vector, which is just an endlessly climbing 64-bit integer that, you know, goes off into the, you know, the infinite void of 18 quintillion possible numbers. And a GUID, which just represents various things, and in the case of a GVSM, it represents a server. I can take this convert from DFSR GUID commandlet, which is another one of our commandlets, specify the GUID of any file that is stuck in any file, and find out where a change originated. We can look up that GUID and tell you, oh, it's Servo 3. So that's.
Could I also determine what the user was at the time?
No. So here's the thing about DFSR. That's the first question people usually ask, and I'm glad you asked. DFSR doesn't know or care at all about the users involved in this. If you want to actually find out real details of who deleted the file, you will have to go and have auditing turned on in Windows, object access auditing for files. Because only that, only LSAS keeps track of who's doing the work. DFSR just says, oh, the file system changed. Oh, the file system changed. The file system changed. He doesn't really care who's doing it. In fact, he has no knowledge of who's doing it because he's triggering off of NTFS USN updates, which have no concept of people. At that point, you're way down into kernel land of the file system just doing work. So that's me getting a bunch of stuff, which is somewhat interesting, but really when people are in this scenario and hyperventilating, they really are more interested in restoring stuff. So let's go back and look at my set of data here.
Yeah, but then after the fact, they want to know who screwed up in the first place.
Yeah.
Who do I point the finger at?
Oh, I was always going to point the finger later. So here's my pre-existing stuff in there. And then I've got this replicated folder where clearly I've gone and deleted everything out of it. So this is replication's been ongoing. Everything's fine. Suddenly I look in here and all my files are gone. If I look here in the conflict folder, I'll see, oh, look, there's all these files used to be in here and they've been deleted. And the ways that I could tell that is if I ran get, it would show me the reason would have been delete as opposed to, you know, conflict. If I look over here at this particular folder, this one, everything's there, except that if I look at these files, I can tell I've written in my beautiful handwriting in MS Paint that these were files that were conflicted, and the files from server 01 won the conflicts, which means that there's files going to be down in here that didn't win the conflicts. There's a little sad face down there to show that it's losing the conflict. So what I want to be able to do is recover this data out, and now I get into the more fun part, which is doing the restore. So I'm going to do restore DFSR preserve files, and for this case, I'm going to start with the deleted files. That's a fairly common one. Again, I just specify a path to the manifest and let it autocomplete all day. And what I'm going to do now is restore to path. I'm going to put it into a spot somewhere besides the replicated folder. And that way I can sort of see what's going on, hopefully, and you know, take a look at these files, but not put them back into the real spot. I kind of want to, you know, take my time with this right now. This is going to be slower because I'm doing a copy.
I would think this is also the preferred method of doing that.
Well, I would say that it really depends. If somebody has deleted all the files, I would say restore to origin and go now and move now would be best because everybody's dead in the water. No one can work and all the files are gone. And your only alternative at this point is to go restore from backup. And your backups are very likely to not contain plenty of data that was created that day and has not yet ever been backed up.
Right.
So I would say in the case of somebody nuking an entire folder to just go for it. But you're right. If somebody calls and says, you know, I deleted this file and I really need it back, and I got no backups, and I'm a terrible person, copying it to somewhere else is a good idea. Because then you can, we don't have a really good way to say, just restore this file. I mean, this thing blows through and just, you know, tries to pull the contents out of the conflict folder. It doesn't know how to stop. So, because the XML doesn't have any sort of, like, we don't have any sort of cut line here that says, oh, I just want to restore this file or that file. And you could, I mean, if you get a little bit fancy, you could use a get pipeline into restore and start figuring out some ways to just get back one or two files. But honestly, when these kinds of disasters are going on, it's never just one file.
Yeah, so, but I would think, though, whenever you, if you do have an issue where it's not an entire directory, then or particularly if you have conflicts that you're restoring, that you almost always want to do those in a different location and let somebody deal with it. So I can see they're used for both.
Yeah, I would agree that there's the beauty of this whole design is that we don't make you do anything. Yeah. You can entirely control whatever you want to do. So you can see here, this is not a lot of data, so even my copy was insanely fast. And I specified this restore folder, which didn't exist yet. Whoops, did I put it to C?
I think you put it to C.
Put it to C, didn't I? There it is. And here are my files back with my subfolder and all the files back with their normal name, and life is good. Now you'll see this right here. This is a bug. And I just wanted to throw this out here in front so that nobody calls and complains, because I already know. But when we do a copy restore of conflicts, this is only a copy restore of conflicts. This is an irritating bug that we found just a little bit after we shipped. We create this empty folder structure of the, see how it's the same as the top level folder that I used to have? And then this, it's just garbage. I mean, it's harmless garbage, which is why we didn't race around to fix it. And I can blow that away. It contains nothing. It doesn't add any time. It's just a dumb bug. But the rest of it, the important part is all my stuff's back.
Yep.
So let's go back to this. What about...
Is it always called the same, that RFC and D?
Where did you...
That folder? The folder name, that dummy folder that's there, is it always the same name?
No, it's always the name of whatever the actual replicated folder was.
Okay.
So that's the name of my replicated folder.
Okay, got it.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's do the same thing with my conflicted files. So here's my path again, but now I have pointing it to a different replicated folder. This time I'm going to make it the D drive the way I want it to the whole time. Okay. Here's my restore folder, and there's my conflicts put back.
Mm-hmm.
And I could, these ones you definitely, when it comes to conflicts, I definitely recommend doing a copy, because we already know there's some other files out there right now, and everybody's spinning their wheels trying to figure out which one's the good one. Putting a copy to some location, get everybody a copy of their files they need, figure it out that way.
Yep. I wonder if you could take just a minute. You've got a bunch of different parameters there. If you could just kind of tell us what those are doing.
Sure. So restore to path is just specifying where do you want to put the files. Copy is only put in place if you want to copy, otherwise it doesn't move. Allow clobber says overwrite files if they exist. And force is basically fixing up everything that goes along with that. So if the paths don't exist, like the folder structure doesn't exist, it creates it, all that kind of good stuff. You can also do this one, which is kind of cool. Let me destroy my little folder here real quick. Do this again.
Still fast.
And which one did I choose there? Two? Was two the conflicts? Don't know if I had any. If I restore this one and I've got multiple copies of the same file, which I didn't think to do, I just have one conflict in this case. But if I did restore all versions and I had, say, 10 Canary 1 files inside my conflict folder, I would get 10 Canary 1 files, each one with a time date stamp appended to their name, so that all 10 would restore and not overwrite each other.
And that would happen if you had multiple different servers.
If I had lots and lots of conflicts, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, semi-interesting.
One more quick thing. The likelihood of a conflict is also probably pretty heavily dependent on the interval that your sync is set to run at, right?
Well, the most important dependency on it is, are you allowing people to modify data in more than one location? If that's not happening, you won't ever have conflicts.
Yeah, I mean, I would think most people would do that, though.
Well,
I mean, I guess there's cases where, there's read-only if you get a library or something, but...
Yeah, it really comes down to the way that DFSR is designed and the way that, generally speaking, people use it. It is to either push data out to people or pull data back for backup. The actual use of it is some sort of, like, giant replicated version of SharePoint.
Mm-hmm.
While that is done... is really, it's not very good at that. If you let, people modify a copy of a spreadsheet in Tokyo and also modify a copy in New York, the odds are you're going to have a fair amount of conflicts all the time.
Yeah.
If you have a situation like that where you really want people to collaborate, I suggest using SharePoint instead.
Yep.
That's the
SharePoint's
whole point.
SharePoint's a much better tool.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it. Okay, so, but the reason we have these tools here is because people don't listen to me, so. I know they're out there.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's last thing here is I'll show you just the beauty of this. So here's this preserved folder, my Oh No folder, which you might not call it Oh No in the real situation, might be Oh Something Else. Pre-existing, and I have a ton of stuff in here. I mean, this is a gig of data. This is a lot of stuff got deleted, and I really want to get my life back on track. This is the very first Kritsit ever. So I've set up replication, I've picked the wrong server as my source, and I've picked the wrong server as my target, and now I have no data anymore. So if I take the path to the preserved manifest now, so this is my Oh No, and I restore to origin. Notice I'm not putting anything else on here. The reason I like to show this one is this is the oh crap command that will get you back in business the fastest, the most immediate, the least amount of work, and the most guaranteed to get your data back. Now, you saw that was pretty fast.
That was fast. But, well, it's because it's doing a move, right? It's not doing a clobber.
Doing a move, right? It's the beauty of it. That will
You're also
over,
not doing a clobber or anything, so if there's already something there, it's not going to be overwritten.
It would have pounded it into those, and it would have prompted you at that point. I could have used force or allow clobber to get past those, but in this case, I know there's not going to be anything there because I really screwed up. But notice how everything's back. All the folder structures are back. All the file names are back. That took about a second and a half. And if we had had that thing, you know, 8 years ago when DFSR first came out, that first Kritsit would have lasted for about a minute rather than the, you know, 8 hours that it actually took to get everything put back together.
Right.
And that's all I have to show. There's not a whole lot to these things.
Well, that's the beauty of it, is the simplicity.
Yeah. that is the beauty. I definitely recommend that people get out there so I have a blog post on this that I'm sure you'll share. And the first thing I do in the blog post is explain in great detail how to create conflicts and pre-existing files. Because I want you to actually do it in your test labs and create an environment where you can practice on this. Because what I don't want you to do is find the blog post and start using it during your disaster.
Yeah.
I want you to,
not a good time to learn.
Yeah, I want you to have your muscle memory already in place and just say, oh, I can just come in here and save the day and step out of my way, punks. I'm ready to fix all this. And just move on with your life super fast. So that stuff's out there. Everything I did here, you can use. I have just as many good examples out there. And I really hope that people utilize this thing. I really am sorry it took us so long to give this to you. This should have been there from day one. But now that we have it, you should definitely use it. And if you don't have 2012 R2, if you still have older servers, that's okay. As long as you have an 8.1 client. You get your hands on an 8.1 client and install RSAT. You can run all this stuff remotely. Just map a drive. You know, it doesn't need to talk to the DFSR service or use WMI. This whole thing's just working over, you know, the file system or SMB, and it will work perfectly.
Okay, one last thing. And since you can give it a path of where you're putting it, the path doesn't have to be on a DFS path, right? It could be any path.
Anywhere. In fact, you don't have to run this thing on a DFSR server. I mean, you can run this command on your laptop about your own. I mean, you can move the data somewhere else. I mean, these conflict folders have a quota, right? The pre-existing doesn't. The pre-existing is as big as it needs to be. The conflict folder in 2012 R2 has a 4 gig quota that's first in, first out. So you may want to say, oh, crap, let me just copy or move the conflict folder content somewhere so that I can just, you know, have what I need, you know, my manifest and my conflict folder, and just kind of, you know, get a checkpoint there. Like, I keep a copy of all that stuff in my temp folder for these demos because I go through and fix it so many times I'm constantly gaining and losing my environment. So I just keep a copy of it around. I can go work on any copy, online or offline. It doesn't matter. Folder with an XML file. We don't care.
Awesome. And I'm looking at this blog post. You've got some really awesome stuff in there. In terms of, you know, going through all of the different, you know, optional parameters and stuff and what they mean. So this great post we'll definitely share with, the blog post where we post the video. So thank you so very, very much for sharing this wisdom with us. You know, these tools were created to help people out. When they get in a bad situation, they're not designed to be your backup solution. So
yeah, this is not a recycle bin, right?
Exactly.
If it was, we wouldn't have made you go through all this rigmarole. Those are just basically Hail Mary fail-safe points for you.
Right.
DFSR, replication engines, no matter who makes them, Microsoft doesn't matter. No replication technology is ever a backup, ever. It is simply a way to survive the death of a server and hopefully get you to another server. Just like a cluster is not a backup. Because if somebody deletes everything, replication will delete everything. And now you have your backup is now empty.
Right. Awesome. Thanks, thanks, Ned. Much appreciated. And we'll catch you on the other side.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Ned. Much appreciated. And we'll catch you on the other side.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.